But I want to talk about a really often overlooked casualty of war, of course, is the loss of cultural heritage. Now, Culture Under Attack is a photojournalistic exhibition looking at the devastating effect that war can have on buildings, objects, memorials, things that are essential to a culture. Now, the exhibition uses some powerful, powerful images taken across a wide range of historical examples from World War II to even more recent modern Syria. Tara Gutman is Acting National Manager of International Humanitarian Law at the Australian Red Cross. Tara, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. Now, this is very much an, as we said, an overlooked casualty of war. Are these kind of cultural touchstones?
That's right. It's true. I think we very much focus, as we should, on civilian casualties. But increasingly now, when we're seeing the very deliberate destruction of cultural property, we're realising the impact that has on civilians as well, on communities. If something that's extremely significant, whether it's a religious or historical place or just a very sentimental place to a population, if those are destroyed, it also not only has a massive impact on the ability of a community to recover from conflict, but also it's a loss for the world. Imagine you going to visit, Paris without the Eiffel Tower. It's a bit of a cliched sort of example, but those things also mean a lot to people outside those countries. We're seeing, there's been in contemporary conflicts a fairly discernible shift towards the very deliberate destruction as opposed to the collateral damage of those sorts of things.
It really plays into that sort of psychological warfare as well.
Yes, it's basically trying to undermine a population. By destroying a population's culture, you're really destroying their connection with their history, which is very humiliating and very distressing. And there was the UN representative for cultural property recently described some of this stuff as like a postcard from history into the future. And that's what you're missing, is the link for future generations to the past. And I think that's right. It really undermines a cultural sense of culture if these physical embodiments of your historic accomplishments aren't there, or your libraries or your archives. It's not just beautiful buildings we're talking about.
And clearly highlighting this is very important to the Red Cross.
It is. We have a role, the Red Cross internationally has a role in the Geneva Conventions for protecting civilians in conflict, and that has been very much our focus. But the Geneva Conventions not only protect civilians, but civilian property. So that includes cultural property. And under that mandate, which we have under the Geneva Conventions internationally, every country in the world has signed the Geneva Conventions, we have a right of initiative to go into conflicts and protect civilians. And now we're directing a lot of our work into protection of cultural property in conflict as well, not just because we're interested in bricks and mortar and that sort of thing, but because of the humanitarian impact that loss of culture can have.
And I think that's what's amazing about Culture Under Attack is the portfolios of what we're seeing are just absolutely devastating, but it's also highlighting the work that, organisations are doing to keep this heritage safe.
Yeah, and not only organisations, but also populations. That's what's really astounded me. In places where there have been deliberate attacks, that people, ordinary people, I'll give you an example. In Mali, there's a city, Timbuktu, which I didn't even know was a real city until I started looking into this area. But Timbuktu in Mali was a former intellectual capital in Africa, and there's just beautiful mausoleums that were being destroyed by Ansar-Dyen, which is an al-Qaeda-related group. And it was the populations who all sort of formed a human barrier around it and formed defence and said, no, you're not going to attack these unless you essentially kill us first. And it meant that much to the populations that they would, put their own lives on the line. And so I think it really makes you realise, and that case actually has been the first case to go to the International Criminal Court in The Hague, the first cultural property case. And in that case, the defendant, Mr. Almaty, pleaded guilty. So that's been a really big step in terms of actually seeing people punished and held accountable for crimes against cultural property, which we haven't seen much of lately. But that sort of also has really increased the momentum and highlighted the need for prosecutions and for accountability in this area.
So you think we could see more prosecutions in the future?
Look, I hope so. I don't necessarily think it's, you know, it's hard to weigh up the priorities. And I think in the International Criminal Court, I think the fact that they've done this once now means they'll, you know, that they've run one case and may well do it again. But of course, they have to weigh up the harm to civilians and the harm to cultural property, and they have to weigh up the likelihood of success depending on the evidence they have. And in this case, I think it probably was a pretty easy case for them once they realised the defendant was going to plead guilty. It's you know, difficult to capture people, but I certainly think, yes, it does set a great precedent in terms of holding people to account. And ideally, you'd like to think that that would also deter others if they think, well, there's a possibility that they will get caught and will spend the rest of their lives or a great many years in prison. That may well be a deterrent, but, you know, time can tell.
Time can tell. Now, the exhibition is on at Customs House. I think it's sticking around for quite a while, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sticking around till late February and or early March, actually. We'll have an opening of the exhibition, and I wanted to say to your listeners, if there are people, particularly in the cultural sector, who are interested in coming along to the launch, we're just planning that now for early February. And I'm happy to put a link up on the website if they want to get in touch with our Sydney office to say that they're interested. We'd be happy to have people along, and we'll be inviting some New South Wales members of Parliament, and we'll be inviting a number of people from the cultural sector. And the reason for that is we're very keen for Australia to sign some additional protocols to an international convention to protect cultural property in armed conflict. And there's two treaties Australia is yet to sign. And in order for that to happen, we need to get states' arts ministers on board, because the implementation of those laws would mean having a look at what's in your own state and territory that you should take steps to protect in the event of a conflict. But it's the same kind of steps that you take in the event of a disaster. And so there'd need to be an inventory created and some kind of management plan and a central agency who's in charge of that. So that's why we're using the exhibition to engage not only with the public on this issue, but also on state parliaments around Australia as we tour the exhibition, to encourage them to see what's involved in signing these international agreements.
Well, Tara, we'll make sure we've got contact details for that up on the 2SER.com website. Thank you Brilliant. So much for your Thanks. Time this morning.
A great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for seeing the exhibition, and I hope some of your listeners do too.
I'm sure they will. Thank you very much, Tara. That was Tara Gutman there from the Australian Red Cross talking about Culture Under Attack. It is on display now at Customs House before it moves on. We'll make sure there's details if you want to go along to the official launch happening a little bit later up on 2SER.com.